at wjffradio.org. Kathy Geary, and this is Now and Then. On today's program, we'll be exploring the music, the life, and the artistry of a master, of a virtuoso singer, Art Garfunkel. I had the pleasure of having a conversation with Art Garfunkel very recently, and we'll be featuring that interview on today's program. Let's listen to a song that you already know.
Shine, all your dreams are on their way.
Like I said, you already know that song, Bridge Over Troubled Water, Simon and Garfunkel, from their 1970 album of the same name. What a life, what a story, the lives of these two musicians, Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel. You know what, they knew each other as children. They were both attending school in Forest Hills in Queens. And they met each other in elementary school when they were 12 years old in 1953. And they both appeared in a school play in a musical, Alice in Wonderland. And Paul Simon, as I understand it, sang the White Rabbit. And Art Garfunkel was the Cheshire Cat. What a pair. What a pair. They continued through junior high school together, and they went into high school, and they started singing together in 1955. They were called Tom and Jerry. It's pretty amazing how their career came together. They went to Greenwich Village in the folk music scene, and they did a recording, their very first album for Columbia Records called Wednesday Morning, 3 a.m., and it was released on October 19th, 1964, and you know what? It didn't go anywhere. It just wasn't happening. And Art Garfunkel enrolls in Columbia University. Simon eventually ends up at Queens College. But after they record that album and it doesn't really go anywhere, Paul Simon heads off to London. And while he's gone, there's a radio station in Boston that starts to play a song called The Sounds of Silence. And so it's really interesting. There's a producer named Tom Wilson, and he took the original recording of The Sounds of Silence, which was a very folk recording, and he overdubbed some additional music to that song. He was inspired by the Byrds, and he used the same musicians that had recorded with Bob Dylan on the Like a Rolling Stone song. And they dubbed in electric guitars, bass, and drums onto the original tracks of The Sounds of Silence. And that became their very first hit. And it was the very first time in a top 40 genre that a song that was folk was turned into folk rock and became identified as a type of music. So, you know, Paul Simon comes rushing back from England and they continue to record. And they had a spectacular career. Everybody knows their music. My God, it's so timeless. They recorded five albums from 1964, culminating with their last studio recording, The Bridge Over Troubled Water. They started with Wednesday Morning, 3 a.m. in 1966, The Sounds of Silence, Parsley, Sage, Rosemary, and Thyme, 1968, Bookends, and 1970, Bridge Over Troubled Water. I recently had a conversation with Art Garfunkel, and he had a few wonderful, beautiful things to say about the times that he sung with Paul Simon and that the career and about the career that he's had over his life as a musician. Let's get into some of that conversation and hear what Art Garfunkel has to say. Hello.
Hi, Kathy. How are you? Are you in the Catskills?
Well, hi. I am in the Catskills in Jeffersonville, New York, at WJFF, hydro-powered radio.
Kathy, you have a lovely voice. What a nice radio sound. What a nice human sound.
Art Garfunkel, you know.
You are in the right line of business, kiddo.
Well, you know, I would say the same thing to you. I was so excited to have this opportunity to talk with you. I've always admired your voice. What a beautiful voice you have.
Kathy, haven't I had a lucky ride? If you were me and you had this lucky sound in your own throat and you realized it at age five, you would have, it's really a charmed situation. Then you run into a friend in the neighborhood, Paul Simon, and his guitar playing really swings. And then America starts moving into the stereo age and people start getting into rock and roll on a massive level. And you've been doing it in your basement with your friend all these years. You're well prepared. What a lucky life.
I love that perspective.
That's how I see it.
Art Garfunkel, you know, you're about to release a new project, and it's appropriate titled The Singer. This is a two-CD compilation, which is going to be released on August the 28th. And you have a couple of new recordings on this project coming up. Can you tell us just a little bit about what this release means to you?
If I never record it ever again, this is my bouquet of what I did when I connected with music here on Earth over these five decades, trying to be a virtuoso singer. Now, I look at my body of work and I go, it's really good. I've had some great nights with some great musicians in the recording studio, and it's five decades worth the fun of collecting the very best of it, as my selfish ears know how to judge good vocals, is a lot of fun. And I started going into the cutting room, this studio in Lower Manhattan, a year or two ago, listening and reviewing what I have and thinking of what offbeat things, always with where is the vocal really happening, and then connecting the song so that one thing slides to another. And I hope to be saying Garfunkel is one of the premier singers. Here he is, shade after shade after shade, from tune to tune. So I like my album.
So long, Frank Lloyd Wright, I can't believe your song is gone so soon. I barely learned the tune so soon. So soon, I'll remember Frank Lloyd Wright, all of the nights we'd harmonize till dawn. I never laughed so long, so long. So long. Architects make a man, architects make a when, never change your point of view. When I run dry, I stop a while and think of you. Till dawn, I never left.
So long. So long. So long. So long.
So long, Frank Lloyd Wright. That's from Simon and Garfunkel's Bridge Over Troubled Water. And some of the songs that we'll be hearing today are from the selections that Art Garfunkel has made for his upcoming new release called The Singer. This is a 2-CD compilation. It features some new recordings that he's just done. And in addition to some of the songs from his Simon and Garfunkel collaboration. There's songs from every single one of his solo recordings. It's a beautiful anthology. And I think it's interesting because of a lot of the songs that come from the Simon and Garfunkel body of work are ones that really feature Art singing solo. I know that we're all familiar with Homeward Bound or The Boxer or Sounds of Silence, all those songs where Simon and Garfunkel would sing in harmony and work on the idea of like the Everly Brothers type of harmony, where the entire melody is sung together, the same words and that sort of thing. But the tracks that he selected for The Singer really feature him singing a solo on the Simon and Garfunkel works. And we just heard So Long, Frank Lloyd Wright. And then from their Sounds of Silence album released in 1965, there's another song which I've always loved. These songs were all composed by Paul Simon. This song is called April Come She Will and is another example of Art Garfunkel's solo work.
When streams are ripe and swelled with rain, may she will stay, resting in my arms again. Christmas walk, she'll prowl the night. July, she will fly and give no warning to her flight. August, die she must. The autumn winds blow chilly and cold. September, I'll remember. A love once knew has now grown old.
That was April Come She Will from Simon and Garfunkel's Sounds of Silence. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF, award-winning hydro-powered radio. Let's get back to the interview I recently had with Art Garfunkel. If I've got the story straight, when I look back to see you as a 5-year-old, from the very time that you were a child, this identity that you've had as a singer. And if I've got the story right, your dad, your father, brought you like a recorder when you were still very young, elementary school, and you would sit around at home in the afternoons, and you would sing, and then you would play it back, and then you'd sing, and then you'd play it back.
And you got me.
You taught
very early in the game of recording and listening and feeling the pain of, it's not right yet, let's do it again. This is the essence of our business. If it's what you do, it's what I do. You put it down, you play it back. Once upon a time, this was new stuff. And the facility of doing it in a suburban neighborhood back there in the 40s was new, exciting stuff.
Nobody else had the ability to record themselves at home. Phone machines didn't exist. Cassette tapes didn't exist. I think it's fascinating that you had that as a tool to teach yourself how to sing. And
it was a wire recorder first, Kathy. And then when Paul was my friend and I was 12, and his tape recorder allowed us to have two machines. You could put sound on sound. Once you recorded something, you could play it back live in the room and harmonize to it live into the second tape recorder.
Whoa. Did you ever take voice lessons with anybody? Have you always relied on your own ears to guide yourself about singing?
Yeah, I'm very stuck up. I'm full of myself, Kathy.
It's a beautiful thing.
I really do believe I have the most insight into what singing is about. When I produce the sound and I see it's subtle, so many things go on in the back of the throat. I have tried a little bit of vocal teaching. Paul Simon recommends a particular teacher. I tried her. It's not quite how I look at the whole thing. Singing is love and joy, and certain things come out in the analysis when you're involved with love and joy.
Wow, so you sing from an emotional place.
Yeah, you must love the lyric and you must love the melody. If there's not love, a musical love, a tenderness in the story, without love, nothing gets moved, Kathy. The vocal cords don't, the vibrato doesn't bubble. There's no buoyancy. There's no lift. It's love. You're hearing a singer delighting in the melody of the song or the poignancy of the statement. Love.
Art. That's beautiful. It makes me stop. I have another question ready. I just have to stop and digest that for a second. Wow.
My love must be a kind of blind love. I can't see anyone but you. Thank you.
Back in 2010, you ran into some physical problems with your vocal cords. You know, you had a condition that prevented you from performing. And that was back in the middle of 2010. And I understand that you performed in Carnegie Hall in March of this year, 2012. In the Rolling Stones tribute. You did Ruby Tuesday. And Billboard.
They wanted me to do one song. I thought that's the right size challenge in my rehabilitation.
Well, Billboard said that you had this crisp tenor that warmed the crowd.
Oh, no, it stunk. Kathy, it stunk. It was valuable for me to go through the adrenaline and the nerves and the kick your fanny back on stage. Before it's going to be good, it's going to be rocky. And that was I thought that was a shaky performance. But
wow.
It's all part of growing up.
You are going to be going out in tour to support this latest release, The Singer.
Correct, yeah.
And I understand that.
I don't look at it as I'm going out to support the release. There's two things. I'm enormously fond of this package, The Singer. It is my life's body of work, the best of it, with and without Paul. The other is I'm going out on tour because that's what I do. At this part of my life for the last 20 years, I have my band. We do shows. And there's a singer's got to sing, and there's the thrill of singing. It's more stage than it is studio for me now.
Wow. Your first concert, your most recent concert, was just recently on August the 11th in Williamstown, Massachusetts. You just did a concert at the Sterling and Francine Clark Institute. I've been
to nice building, by the way. They built a beautiful thing.
I've been to the Clark Institute, and what I remember, it's a huge art gallery. They've got like John Singer Sargent and Alma Tadema, huge oil paintings, and I don't recall that they had any kind of performance space. And I thought, what an incredible location to do a performance.
Did you personally? You might say artistic if you didn't get misunderstood.
I love that gig.
Just a week ago, small theater, maybe it's rather new, and so they've just built it, but they treated it like a gem. There's extra millions of dollars that went into this thing.
Wow. Do you ever sing without a microphone? Like in an environment
what
like...
What a fascinating question. Applause for that question. Well, that's a well-thought-out, winning piece of curiosity. That's a goodie.
You know,
from a singer's point of view, the answer is hardly. I sing without a... Like, if I'm in a car, I will not sing. It's too padded.
Oh, I agree.
The chamber is guaranteed to make you sound dull. So I won't sing. There's no live quality. Would I sing without a mic?
Well, now here's a little bit of background to why I came up with this question. Because I was reading about how you used to, you know, back in elementary school, back to being a child again, you would stand in the stairway where all the tiles were, and you would sing, you know, like, "You'll Never Walk Alone," and the reverb and standing there and just hearing your own voice.
You can picture this kid.
Yeah, and then the idea of always being in the studio, always being on a microphone, always hearing yourself through the headphones, and then the idea of a vocal technique, how someone sings. And when you sing with headphones and in a microphone, you're always listening with your ears and trying to make it sound a certain way. And when you sing without a microphone and you sing acoustically, it's all about how it feels, not so much about how it sounds. And when I hear your singing, it feels very physically connected to me. You seem like so connected to your voice. That it's
when I hear your words, it feels like you're teaching me. You're pointing me in a good direction that is actually leading me. You're a trifle ahead of me in what you're saying with very wise stuff.
Thank you, Art. Well, I
that's good.
I'm a singer myself, and I actually am just now starting to teach voice, which is kind of where I'm thinking as I'm listening to you And the
well,
lifetime.
So you see how subtle it is. It's mechanics, but it's also heart and intention. Mm-hmm. It's love. You have to love your song.
Mm.
You caress the song like the hands of a potter at a potter's wheel on your own throat chamber. You caress these vowel sounds with your love of the song, as long as you're appropriate. You know, you can't be flowery in a song that's not appropriately that, but you can have your tones be full of love as you shape them.
What a magnificent artist you are, so multifaceted.
Thank you very much, kiddo.
A stick, a stone, it's the end of the road. It's the rest of a stump, it's a little alone. It's a sliver of glass, it is life, it's the sun. It is night, it is death, it's a trap, it's a gun. The oak when it blooms, a fox in the brush. The knot of the wood, the song of a thrush. The wood of the wind, a cliff, a fall. A scratch, a it's the wind blowing free. It's the end of a slope. It's a beam, it's a void. It's a hunch, it's a hope. And the riverbank talks of the waters of March. It's the end of the strain. It's the joy in your heart.
That song was called The Waters of March, and that's from Art Garfunkel's solo album from 1975 called Breakaway. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF Radio Catskill. I recently had an amazing conversation with Art Garfunkel. Let's get back to that and hear more of what he has to say. When I think about music, you know, this during our lifetimes, and how the singer-songwriter came to be like the main dominant cultural force, right? And there you are, one of the most famous and inspiring duets that ever happened in my lifetime. And when I read your personal story, that it wasn't until 1981, you're 40 years old, when you started to write poetry. Right. There you are riding around on a motorcycle in Switzerland and you start to write poetry. And then in 1989, you published your first collection of poetry called Still Waters.
This is key for me, Kathy, because I'm at this point I'm taking control of my brain and my feet on the ground. This is my life. These are my thoughts. Now I'm taking my best shot in my desire to be unapologetically intelligent. This is my best shot as far as this is where my intelligence takes me. I know I'm a fool. I know it's limited, this intelligence, but I'm going to believe in it as far as it goes. That's what the 80s were for me.
You released an album in 2003, Everything Waits to Be Noticed. And apparently that's the first time where you actually co-wrote songs and started to record songs where you are the songwriter. When you started writing poetry in the 80s, it must have occurred to you, you know, poetry is an awful lot like lyrics to songs. You know, maybe I could put some of this to music.
More false than true, my dear.
You waited until 2003, and then you started to co-write music with Amaya Sharp. Couple of questions. What happened during that time?
You're getting very breathy and lovely on me. You know this, right? You're being more feminine than the rest of the interview, Kathy. But okay, I'm delighted. Go ahead.
What led you? How did you get the courage and the personal insight to be able to step out and start to write songs?
Billy Mann gave me a kick in the ass. M-A-N-N, Billy Mann, a wonderful force in the music business. You get to know various people. Billy is a fan of mine. He knows my sound. He said, I want you and Maya to sing together and to write together. I think you can be a writer if I conduct rehearsals and kind of force you into it. We'll bring in my friend Buddy Monlock. He's a wonderful folky. His guitars will give us a groove. We'll sit around a table. And we'll sweat out a song or two. Rhymes don't come easy. You hunt. We started looking at my book of poems and used some of my original notions as good food and shaped some of those. And so, I, you know, Billy Mann led me into this with a certain amount of drive on his part. He poked me into it.
For the first time, cinema one or two, I noticed you standing in line. Your eyes met mine, and I could not look away. There we were. A perfect moment in time. last time. But wasn't I supposed to let you go into the blue? But still I'm holding you. You're a million miles away. There we are. In a perfect moment, a perfect moment in time. For a moment you were mine. In a perfect moment, perfect moment in time. For a moment you are mine. For a moment you are mine. Just for a moment you are.
Well, you might be new to songwriting. I mean, that was 9 years ago. And on this new album, The Singer, there's a song. And I'm not sure about the song, the writing credits, but it's called The Long Way Home with Maya Sharp. Is this a song that you co-wrote with her?
No. I thought you were going to say Perfect Moment, a song I love. That's co-written with Buddy and... But Maya wrote Long Way Home years ago when we first were working together, and I loved her demo, and I finally got around to doing it. It's full of Miss Sharp's presence. She produced it. She wrote it. I'm recording it just a month or two ago.
Wow.
Kathy. It's recent work, and I was just trying to nervously see if the voice is back enough to be in the studio. So that was a very scary challenge. I went through patches in the studio where I was going to smash my fist into the studio wall. So frustrated to not have a facility in the vocal cords that I used to have. And all I can say is patience, patience. You will have it.
Mm-hmm.
just your lonely home. You're welcome. That morning, the day had finally come for somebody new. You kiss me. Like a sick I am, to see what he'd do and say goodbye again. He opened the door and opened his arms, and you fell in like a baby. There from my car I became yours. Just your lonely home. I knew it, he knows it now. I was just your.
That song was called Long Way Home, and that's a new recording from Art Garfunkel's upcoming release called The Singer. I'm Kathy Geary, and you're listening to Now and Then here on WJFF. I had a wonderful conversation with Art Garfunkel. It's hard to hear it come to an end, but let's listen to the end of our interview and hear one more song. Art Garfunkel.
All right, so Kathy, I'm sorry to say goodbye. You were really sweet to talk with. Very intelligent questions.
Thank you so much, Art. And I really look forward to hearing all of the new music you're coming up with, and I hope to catch you at one of your upcoming dates. Thanks for
Kathy,
taking
you know what
time.
My fondest wish is? You come home from dinner with friends one night. You lie down on the couch. You'll put my double CD on your earphones. It'll come out nice and clear, and you'll crank it up fairly loud and give me the full chance. Now one tune will flow into another, and you will get the picture. I guess so, as far as I can go to say, this is my great wish. Somebody will hang in with volume and give my record its full shot.
You got it, Art. You got it.
Great.
Thank you.
Take care, sweetie.
Thank you so much.
Hope to talk to you again down the line.
Factories. just imagination. Relax, everything's the same back in my little town.
You know, Art, you and I actually met once very briefly at a rehearsal studio in Manhattan. You
for was there flirting?
You were there. You were there, and I only met you briefly, but it was just really great to be able to speak with you again. Thanks.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Same thing again. Bye bye, Kathy.
Bye bye, Art.
Okay, let me, Kathy, if you hang off.
Sure.
Are you still on?
I'm here.
All right, so if you hang up, or you stay on, and I'll try to see if I can make the transfer work this time.
Who hangs up?
Kathy hangs up.
I'm not going to hang up first. You hang up first.
No.
Goodbye, Miss Geary.
Goodbye.
Who knows when I'll see her?
Sometime. This is Kathy Geary, and you've been listening to Now and Then. I hope you enjoyed the program today, a special edition with an interview with Art Garfunkel. If you'd like to drop me a line, please send me an email, nowandthen@wjffradio.org. Thank you so much for listening.
Support for this program comes from our listeners and from the Tin Can Trading Post on Dorer Drive in Calicoon, purveyors of vintage wares, clothes, and records. TinCanTrading.blogspot.com.
This is 90.5 FM WJFF Jeffersonville, New York, and 94.5 FM W233AH Monticello, New York. We're also streaming online at WJFFradio.org. It's 1 minute before 2 o'clock. It's 79 sunny degrees outside. Stay tuned, coming up for Folk Plus with Angela Page.
Support for this program comes from our listeners and from New Hope Community in Loch Sheldrake, enhancing the lives of people with intellectual and other developmental disabilities. New Hope Community.